Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Okay, we had been discussing chapter 15, the Purushottam Yoga, Yoga of the Supreme Purusha. We talked about Purusha and Prakriti. We talked about Prakriti in the last chapter, never talking about Purusha. In the first four verses which we have seen, it literally described the tree of the samsara, the tree of my world. That it seemed like that my world has its roots in something unknown up above. Where did I come from and where am I going? I do not know where did I come from. It must be an unknown source where I came from. That is where my roots are. That root seemed to be unknown, something higher than everything that I know. Therefore, I'm saying Urdhva Moolam, the roots are up above, somewhere unknown place. But the branches are in this world. Roots are up above in unknown place. Branches are in this world. And the leaves are the knowledge which I gain in this world. And then the birds are the sense objects. The other objects in the world are the potential to grow this tree of mine, this world of mine. Now I know this. Tomorrow I'll come across something else and that will become our world. Well, we were very happy with the regular phone. Now we have an iPhone. Till the new sense object I come in contact with, it was not part of my world. Now it is part of my world. So the sense objects are the birds which creates more and more branches of my world. Not only it seems like the roots are up above, but now I see that the roots are getting firm hold in this world. Therefore, somebody will say, oh, Neil, when did you come to Richmond? And say, well, 20 years ago. At that time, people say newcomer. Before that, I had nothing to do with Richmond. I was a newcomer. And now somebody says, my roots are in Richmond. My roots, which used to be somewhere before, let's say India, because I'm from India, my roots were somewhere in India. Now I see my roots are taking place in the world which I live in. So this verse says that it seemed my roots are somewhere up above. Branches are in this world. The leaves which makes me interact with this world is here. More and more the new sense objects which I come in contact expands my world. But now the roots are taking place in this world. So I now belong to this world. These roots are creating the activity in this world. Now that I have become part of the Richmond community, now that my roots are in Richmond, my activity is in Richmond. Neil, what do you do? Well, I have my company in Richmond. Not only that, but I participate in a Hindu center. I'm on their board. Then I'm doing this as Chinmaya Mission here. All my activities are taking place because of my roots here in Richmond. My roots, which were up above in unknown zone, is now taking place in this world. It is the originator of my activities in this world. This seems like this world is completely unknown to me, in a sense, where it began and where it is going to end. Therefore, it says, its form is unknown to me. See, somebody says, Neil, what will happen to your world 10 years from now? I really don't know. How many new people are going to come in my life? Or how many new things are going to happen to me? How many old things are going to go? I really don't know. That form is unavailable to me. Rupam asyam eha na vindati. It's not in my perception. I do not know where it began. I also don't know what its end going to be. Therefore, my pursuit of gaining perfection in my world is constantly a moving target. So previously I found perfection in just my own life. When I was a bachelor in student life, I found perfection in my, I was seeking perfection in my life. Then obviously I got married, so now I have to seek perfection in both life. If she is happy, I'm happy. If I'm happy, she is happy. So we both need to be happy. Well, then we have a child, so now not only two of us can be happy when each other is happy, but even the third one has to be happy for all three of us to be happy. And we finally think that we got some handle on how three of us can be happy. The fourth one comes in, he gets married. And now her happiness also is part of our happiness. Then we thought, well, we get some handle on it. Well, then the child comes along. So now we are worried about not only this four which we thought, and my parents, and my brothers, the new one. There is no end which I can see in my sight right now. That where this thing will end. So Bhagavan said, to find that perfect happiness, the perfection in your world which is seeking, you need to cut this tree of life, the tree of samsara, with the weapon of detachment. More I get attached to this world of objects and beings, more I get entangled into it. I need to stay in this world but completely detach from it. Then the whole tree of my world will collapse and I'll be just by myself. That's the prescription we have seen. So the next three verses says, who can achieve that? The prescription is very clear. My goal is very clear. My goal is simple. All I want is a perfect situation where I'm completely at bliss all the time. There is nothing to agitate my mind and intellect so that I'm in a perfect state of equanimity. And therefore, I'm not happy nor I'm unhappy. Complete sense of bliss. To reach that, I need to achieve the state of perfection in my mind and intellect. And Bhagavan said that can only be achieved by detaching from this world of objects. Who can achieve that? The next three verses which we have seen says, Nirmana Moha Jitasanga Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vinivritta Kamaha Dvandvair Vimuktaha Sukhadukha Sangehi Gachanti Amuda Padam Avyayam Tat. That state which is immutable, avyayam, padam avyayam tat, that state which does not change from happiness to unhappiness is only achievable by this quality. In our world, what happens is we continue a pursuit of happiness. When we achieve it, we are completely happy. I'll give you my recent example. We had a case, obviously when we are in business, there always somebody is not happy. A client about 4 years ago has filed a claim against us as a company for errors and omissions. Now, we knew it was completely baseless, but you had to go through the motion. After spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on attorneys on both sides, on Wednesday, that I was in court for 4 days to go through that, and the first that the plaintiff make their case, and then defense has to put their case. And we have been going through the last 4 years. The first 2 days they put their case, and we were supposed to put the case on third day. After the end of their case on the second day, our attorney stood up and said, Your Honor, there is no case here. And whatever, they made a motion. We did not expect the judge will dismiss the case right there. We're all psyched up to have our defense why we are not at fault. Judge in 10 minutes dismissed the case, go home. There is no case here. We don't see any basis for this case. We are all pretty ecstatic. We never expected this. Very happy. Neil, we need to celebrate. Well, the next day I'm in the office, I'm talking to a client whom we had done a very large project and we're trying to get a final payment. Well, we're all done. Send me a final payment. And I said, well, this is, Neil, a slightly uncomfortable conversation, but we just want to make sure that when we send a final payment, that does not take our rights to file a claim for errors and omissions. After 4 years of going through a case, we thought we finally got out of this, what we call it, is an evil of errors and omissions cases. Well, next day somebody said, there is a possibility Neil may file a case against you. So where do I start? All over again. Well, let's be prepared. Not that anybody filed a claim, but let's be prepared. In case he decides to file, it starts all over again. But that's how this world of my samsara is. One day it's in ebb, another day it's in a flow. Bhagavan said, I must find a place where this does not happen. And that can only happen if I detach from the world which is ebb and flow. But how can I achieve it? This is what we learn. Say, Nirmana Moha Gacchanti Amudaha Padam Avyayam Tat. That state where there is no ebb and flow, where there is no happiness and unhappiness, but a complete state of equanimity, bliss, is only possible if I detach from the world which has all these limitations. And how can I achieve that? Nirmana Mohaha. Nirmana Moha. Without man or moha. Man is pride and moha is delusion. The first thing I need to achieve is nirmana. I shouldn't have the excessive assessment of my own self, which is pride. I'm so good. How can you claim that I made an error? We are the best. We don't make errors. So Neil, your record doesn't say that. We make errors. We are human beings. But we tend to believe that we are not the ones who will do that. Some other people who are not smart enough will make errors. That pride, the over-assessment of myself is called pride. That has to go away. I need to accept myself as it is, as incomplete and as imperfect as everybody else is. Niramoha, without any delusion, also a wrong expectation from the world. I am deluded if I expect that the world will always be behaving this way with me. That's a delusion. World constantly changes and its reaction I will never know. So I need to be without pride and without delusion. I need to judge myself exactly as it is. So I need to expect from the world exactly what this world can give it to me. First quality is it. Jita Sangha Dosaha. This evil of attachment I need to conquer. I have decided I'm not going to get attached till I come across a situation. And then I start getting attached to the situation, a thing or a being, because I have not yet conquered the art of being detached. So jita sangha dosa, this sangha dosa, the sangha is in itself is a dosha. You know, because by attaching it to something, I'm taking over all its limitations on me. When I get attached to my little grandchild, all her limitations are now mine. She is happy, she is unhealthy, she is unhappy, she is not doing well. Why she is not doing this? You know? Why she is, all her limitations are now my limitation. And therefore, Bhagavan says, Jita Sangha Dosaha, one needs to conquer this evil of attachment. It does not say you don't love people. It does not say you don't love your work. But not attachment. I do my duty and I do not expect anything other than what comes to me is working in a detachment. So, adhyatma nityaha, constantly engaged in the self-study, constantly looking for who am I, that who is working in this world and gathering this pride and this delusion. Vinivritta kamaha, without any desires. Now, these are all seems extremely impossible goals to achieve. But if you look at it from other point of view, they are actually your normal characteristics. As I say, vinivritta kamaha, without any desires. Once my needs are satisfied, do I have the desire for that? As I said, if I'm thirsty, and if I drink 2 glasses of water, will I have a desire for the 3rd glass of water, hoping that the 2 glasses of water quench my thirst? No, you won't. The desire, as long as within my power to satisfy, once I satisfy, there is no desire left. The desires which cannot be satisfied are the ones which I have with an undue expectations. Desires such as I should make $1 million in my job tomorrow, or I should win a jackpot when next time it hits the grand prize or something. These are unreasonable desires on my part. Those can never be fulfilled, and therefore I say I should be devoid of such desires. Dvandvair vimuktaha, we have discussed over and over in Bhagavad Gita, the beyond the pairs of opposites. Once again, this world is filled with pairs of opposites, because the world only exists because of pairs of opposites. There is darkness because there is light, the light because of the darkness. As long as I am in light, I should revel in light. When I am in darkness, I am in darkness, and if I accept that situation, I am beyond these pairs of opposites. That does not mean I will be in a situation where there is no light and no darkness. That's not possible. I'll be either in one or the other. However, whatever I am in, Bhagavad Gita said, accept it as is. So that's dvandvair vimuktaha. Sukhadukha sangehi. Also the attachment to pleasure and pain. So this dvandvai, such as sukhadukha, if I am detached from that, detached in a sense, when I am in pleasure, I enjoy it. When I am in pain, I forbear it. Somebody asks, what should we do about this situation? The only prescription is forbear it till it goes away. What can you do if you're in a cold and you don't have a jacket? What should you do? Tolerate it till you get to a situation where it is not that cold, or you can find a jacket. There are only 2 things you can do. So Bhagavan says, Gacchanti amudaha padam avyayam tat. One who is amudaha, one who is not confused with the reality of life, then no matter how much I complain about my situation, till the situation changes, it is my only choice to suffer through it, if it is not conducive. You know. It is my only choice to enjoy the situation only as long as it lasts. If I want to enjoy it anymore, it's not available. Concert I'm enjoying, it's going to end at 2 hours or 3 hours maximum. After that, I'll be back to where I started before. Such a person who accepts this is amudaha, gacchanti padam avyayam tat. He reaches that place which is immutable, unchangeable in its state of bliss. In other words, as long as I'm attached to that state, everything else is passing by as something which I'm witnessing, I will not be disturbed by it. Natad bhasayate suryah na shashankah na pavakah. Now this is very, very classical verses. It comes in Upanishads. Because this Gita is nothing but the essence of Upanishad, this comes from Upanishad. We started with saying this world is like this. It's constantly changing, constantly expanding. I want to get out of this. How do I do it? If I develop these qualities. The qualities which we have seen, once I develop that and constantly reside and abide in the identity of myself, I reach that state. So what is that state? Now curiosity, I haven't reached that yet. I only intellectually appreciated that state because it has been described many, many times. The Swamiji says that state which cannot be described, the things which can logically be explained, is explained in Bhagavad Gita, in Vedas and Upanishads, that the state of happiness, unhappiness is the state of your mind. It's not state of the things outside. Things outside remaining the same, 2 people will see it differently. All these things we can understand. But the state where there is no happiness or unhappiness, what is it? Well, cannot be explained because none of us have experienced that. So they now use abstract explanation for us to appreciate it. Natat bhasyate surya na shashankah na pavaka. In that place which you will reach, there is no light of the sun, moon or the fire. In my world, I experience everything through the light of sun, moon or fire. I'm aware of things in the daylight. I'm aware of things at night because of some borrowed light from the electricity or the fire or moonlight. I make my world available to me through my senses by the objects which illumines them. But these sources are also the objects from my subjective point of view. I am aware of sun, I am aware of moon, I am aware of fire. Who is that in some mysterious light is recognizing this? Well, that's myself, the light of consciousness which is illuminating even the presence of sun, moon and fire. That state where there is no need for the external illumination to illumine my thoughts is my consciousness. Once established in that consciousness, I have achieved the highest state. So, param yad gatva na nivartante. Having gone there, you will never come back to this. In other words, having experienced that state, you will never be confused with this state, which is temporary. Swamiji gives a good example, and I relate to it because I'm somewhat a music lover. Once a person learns a music and masters the art of singing over the rag and taal and tune and rhythm, once he masters it, he will never go back to not singing in tune or in rhythm. Even if he tries, he will sing in rhythm and tune only, because that is now true nature as a singer. It is as difficult for him to go back to that state of non-rhythm and non-tune is it is as difficult in the beginning for him to sing in a tune and a rhythm. So once reaching the state of mastery, I will never go back to the state of complete incompetency. Having established myself in a place where there is a complete knowledge, I will never come back to the delusion. Yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamma parama mama, that is my supreme abode as Purusha. Purusha in me as my consciousness is right now considered this is the abode. My mind, my body, my intellect. Now this abode is limited and therefore it is having all the limitations. The same consciousness when not considering this as abode, consider that as an abode. Tad dhamma paramam mama, that is my supreme place, that is my supreme state. In the last verse we are saying, mama eva ansa jiva loke. So now, how did this confusion occur in the first place? This is a classical question every seeker in Bhagavad Gita Upanishad will ask. So when did this happen? I used to ask Gaurang Bhai when I first started, who is my teacher. I said, Gaurang Bhai, all this is right, but when did this stupid ignorance started? That I am this body and I am this thing. Why not the very first thought said, I am supreme and did not change ever anything? This verse says how this all happened. For this absolute consciousness to become conditioned consciousness, this absolute space outside, universal space outside, which is all pervading, how does that happen that it became room space? Mama eva ansa jiva loke, jiva bhutaha sanatanaha. A portion of mind which is still eternal. Because there is no portion can ever be separated from me. There is no portion ever can become perishable of an imperishable self. No portion of space can ever become perishable if space is imperishable. Portion of mind, which is still eternal, having becoming a living soul in the world of life. Jiva Bhuta, Jiva Loke. Jivaloka, the world of Prakriti. This world of Prakriti, where there are numerous manifestations of the same entity. Having associated in this world, it takes an identity of its own. That I am a person. A wave taking an identity of its own is a wave. It is nothing but the eternal portion of the ocean. But because of that shape and form, it takes its own identity in the world of ocean as a wave. So in this world of Jivaloka, where there are different jivas, different conditioned consciousnesses, a portion of mind takes this identity as an individual. That's what I call myself, I. Manasasthani indriyani prakrutisthani karshati. Once I have taken identity as a limited self, then it will attract. It will, in other words, create its own manaha, sasthani, indriyani. From this prakriti, it will get the five senses and sixth mind. That's where it all began. I considered myself an individual. That individual now has senses in a mind to interact with the world outside. And this interaction through the mind creates experiences. These experiences are either conducive or unconducive. And the story started from there. We'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.